Sarva-vridayam-mayam-sadunam-vridayam-tvaham maranyate-nat-chananti nahante-vyum-managapi. Saints are my heart, and only I am their hearts. They do not know anyone but me, and therefore I do not recognize anyone besides them as mine. I'll read that again. Saints are my heart, and only I am their hearts. They do not know anyone but me, and therefore I do not recognize anyone besides them as mine. Prabhupada explains. This verse appears in Srimad Bhagavatam 9.4.68. In connection with a misunderstanding between Durvasa Muni and Maharaj Ambarish. As a result of this misunderstanding, Durvasa Muni tried to kill the king. When the Sudarshan Chakra, the celebrated weapon of Godhead, appeared on the scene for the devoted king's protection. When the Sudarshan Chakra attacked Durvasa Muni, he fled in fear of the weapon and sought shelter from all the great demigods in heaven. Not one of them was able to protect him. And therefore, Durvasa Muni prayed to Lord Vishnu for forgiveness. Lord Vishnu advised him, however, that if he wanted forgiveness, he had to get it from Maharaj Ambarish, not from him. In this context, Lord Vishnu spoke this verse. The Lord, being full and free from problems, can wholeheartedly care for his devotees. His concern is how to elevate and protect all those who have taken shelter at his feet. The same responsibility is also entrusted to the spiritual master. The bona fide spiritual master's concern is how the devotees who have surrendered to him as a representative of the Lord may make progress in devotional service. Read that again. The bona fide spiritual master's concern is how the devotees who have surrendered to him as a representative of the Lord may make progress in devotional service. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is always mindful of the devotees who fully engage in cultivating knowledge of Him, having taken shelter at His lotus feet. Panchakalpatrubhyascha kripasindhubhyeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. So there's some very nice points here. I was reading this verse yesterday, and it's like that because our consciousness is always a little bit different. So each time we read a verse, because it's so dynamic and so deep and can be understood on so many levels, we understand it in so many different ways. New lights can come out as we read it at different times. Sometimes we read it and no light goes on. Right? That's an indication that we need to do some work. So a couple of lights went on tonight. One is that Prabhupada here is talking about the position of the spiritual master. Bona fide spiritual masters, let's see. Yes. Prabhupada is talking about Krishna's concern, how to elevate and protect all those who have taken shelter at his feet. And he says the same responsibility is also entrusted to the spiritual master. So who is the spiritual master? Krishna, He takes it upon himself to elevate and protect all those who have taken shelter at his feet. And the position of the spiritual masters is to do the same. So who's the spiritual master? Prabhupada describes that actually we should all become spiritual masters. In the sense that not that one necessarily has to perform the ceremony of Diksha, initiation, but we should become spiritual masters in the sense that we should be able to guide all those who have shown an interest in Krishna consciousness and help them become nicely situated at Krishna's lotus feet. Of course, to do that, we also have to become nicely situated at Krishna's lotus feet. But Lord Chaitanya instructed I forgot the Bengali. What is the Bengali? That we should all become spiritual masters and liberate everyone in this land. Guru Tare. Yari Deka Tare Ka Krishna Videsh. Amara Gyai. Guru Hana. Tare Videsh. That's right. Yes. So we have to instruct everyone in the science of Krishna. We have to follow the science of Krishna, instruct everyone that we meet. That's a tall order, everyone you meet, right? Very tall order. And there are some devotees who are very expert at doing that. Very expert at doing that. And I remember in the days when book distribution was very much paramount all over our society. Devotees would always carry books with them, and everyone they saw, they would try to distribute a book to that person. And distribute a book meant for most of the devotees not just to give a book for free, but to inspire a person to take the book and give donation to cover the cost. And remember, we take books everywhere. Everywhere. You go to the gas station to get gas, what do? Distribute a book to the cashier. Everybody, you go to the store to buy something, whoever you buy something from, whoever you meet on the street, wherever you are, you have books. It's like, it's an entirely different consciousness when you're thinking of giving people Krishna consciousness. Or if not a book, then an invitation to something somewhere that's happening. Like that. When you're in that frame of consciousness, then you see people differently. You're not accepting and rejecting people in terms of how they look or what they're wearing or what their color or race or creed is. You're not seeing them in terms of your sense gratification. This one looks good, this one doesn't look so good. Or this person's mentality, I like this, I don't like. No, you're seeing people differently. You want to go deeper. You want to go and see people as spiritual beings, not their bodies, and lost in this material world, hankering for Krishna, even though they don't know it, most of them. But that's what they're actually looking for. They're looking for something in a different place. They're actually looking for that love that can't be found in the material world. That eternal, unlimited love that's only found when we begin approaching Krishna. So that's what they're looking for, that unlimited, eternal love. They don't know that it's found in God. They're trying to find it in the material world or somehow or other in something else that they're looking for but haven't been able to find. Brahmanda Pramite Kunabhavi Manjeev Guru Krishna Pasade by Bhakti Lata Beach. They can be wandering, Brahmanda Pramite. They can be wandering all over the material universe, not finding any satisfaction. So many different species of life. It's explained that even within this body there are 3 trillion other living entities. So many different species. Not just 3 trillion, not 3 trillion types, but 3 trillion actually, on an average. Every body contains that many living entities. So how many different forms of life have we taken, and in what situations? Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev, that the soul, after wandering all over the material universe, becomes fortunate, Bhagyavan. come in contact with a bona fide spiritual master by Krishna's mercy. And then by the mercy of the spiritual master, one gets Krishna. So people are wandering. We can see it. They don't think they're wandering, but they are actually wandering. We see an ant wandering around, right? What's an ant looking for? Something to eat, some shelter, I don't know, sex life. So we say this ant's just wandering around aimlessly, right? The ant has a purpose, those things. So human beings, they're also, they might be wandering around in a more sophisticated way, but they're still wandering in the same exact way. And they're really empty within their hearts. And that emptiness comes out when they don't have their sense gratification. It's covered over a little bit when they have their sense gratification. It becomes, they become anesthetized. They don't feel that pain for some time. Just like you take morphine if you're very, very sick and it's so much pain. So you're okay for a while. So the sense gratification is also, it's like a drug. You forget your pain. But then when it comes back again, that emptiness is there. People are frantically running around this material world trying to fill that emptiness. And so when someone's taken on that responsibility of trying to help other people spiritually, you become more and more conscious of that. When you go out, you see people in a situation like that. You see that Krishna's in their hearts. You see their spiritual souls, just like us. They're just having a little more trouble finding direction. We're fortunate. They're not so fortunate. So then you become inspired to try to help them in some way. So that's what's being described here. And for those who are actually taking some steps, then those who are more advanced try to help those who are less advanced. So in that sense, you're giving siksha. You're the siksha guru. You're giving instruction by your example and by what you're saying to another person who wants to advance. And you're taking instruction from someone else who's more advanced. And that's how we associate with one another. You make friends with those on an equal level. Friendship means free from rivalry, free from envy. And you help those who are on a less advanced level, and you take help from those who are on a more advanced level. And sometimes there's a mixture, right? I have friends, very intimate friends in Krishna consciousness, and they're so much more advanced than I am in so many ways. And I also take instruction from them. And some of my friends, I can help them with what I've learned and what they haven't learned yet. So sometimes there's a mixture, but that idea of helping and serving, if that's there, then we're setting the example that qualifies us to be a guru in that sense, helping others advance in spiritual life. And this is exactly what is explained that Krishna's is doing with every living entity, not only those, Prabhupada is referring to those who are approaching him, but even those who aren't approaching him. Because Krishna is so full in himself, he's trying to help everybody. He's not concerned with his own sense gratification. He's full in himself. That's what Prabhupada is saying here. He says, the Lord being full and free from problems, Krishna doesn't have any problems. Whatever he wants, well, he just has to want it, and it's right there. By his will, he can have everything. If we want something, what do we have to go through to get it? Quite a bit, right? Quite a bit. And how many of our desires are not fulfilled? So many, right? And if we want to fulfill one, you want to get a house, you want to get a car, you want to get this, you want to get that, you want to satisfy somebody, it's not so easy. We really have to work for it, struggle. Krishna, just like that. He's full in himself. Krishna has pastimes. Class pastimes, that means you control everything according to your will. Krishna has pastimes. We don't have pastimes. Sometimes devotees will say, well, you know, I had an interesting pastime today. I I went to the store and we don't have pastimes. Krishna has pastimes. We have what? In one sense, we're a part of Krishna's pastime. Krishna has us. So, Krishna is full in himself, doesn't need anything. And for his own sense gratification. Whatever Krishna wants, what does he want it for? What's his purpose of wanting it? To love his devotees, to please his devotees. That's why every living entity exists. That's why we're here. Krishna expanded his potency. Actually, eternally it's being expanded for the sake of increasing his love, his loving exchanges. So that's what we're for. We've turned away from that, but actually that's what we're for. And Krishna never forgets that. And he loves to increase his loving, his pastimes of love. And so he's always waiting for us to turn to him, and he's right there. Might not seem like that. That's because we're not turning properly. As soon as we turn properly, Krishna's there. And even before that, give a special bonus by Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Even though we're not so good, we get some nectar. That's the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So, it's such a beautiful way that Prabhupada is explaining this. The Lord, being full and free from problems, can wholeheartedly care for his devotees. The more problems you have, the more you're thinking about yourself, right? Look, I got enough problems. I'm in no position to listen to yours right now. And why do we have problems? Because of frustrated sense gratification. That's what our problems are about, basically. Sometimes devotees have some what they consider to be serious problems. And if you're able to become absorbed in Krishna consciousness by hearing and chanting nice kirtan, by some sincere activity, then what happens is those problems diminish. Has that ever happened to you? You become inspired in Krishna consciousness, or you take that leap of faith and you, even in spite of your problems, you go to the temple and you dance and chant, or you do some service, or you speak to somebody about Krishna. And then you think about your problem, if you remember what it was. And you think, oh yeah, well, it's okay, it's not such a big deal. I mean, it's life. Those things come and go, and I can deal with that. That's what happens. They shrink, because you begin to see things in the proper perspective. The problem's there because we don't know how to deal with something. We're attached or averted by a situation that we think means more than it actually means. We just let it pass. It's like you think about that guy who insulted you at work. You know, you take that home with you. Your husband or your wife says, what's the matter? Oh, you really want to know? This is what happened to me at work today. You get into this whole thing, and it doesn't do you any good, and your husband or wife any good, just thinking about it, dwelling on it. But with a little strength in Krishna consciousness, how did it go today? Great. Krishna really humbled me. Well, I really needed it. And I feel so much purified now. Such a rascal. Actually, I realize that everything happens to me because of what I've done in the past to somebody else. Krishna just reminded me what a rascal I've been. And, all glories to the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and my ability to actually internalize a little bit of it. So there's so many ways to deal with life. When we were, a couple of years ago, I was very enthused about this, what was it? Oh yes, complaint-free living. I don't know if you remember, a couple of years ago we were talking about not complaining and not criticizing. And in one of his books, this one person who, he had a whole system. You wear a bracelet on your wrist. Every time you criticize or complain, what do you do? Anyone remember? take it off and put it on your other wrist. So the idea is to be able to keep that bracelet on the same wrist for 21 days. So he's got a website called acomplaintfreeworld.org. So I got the bracelet. It took me a little while to keep it on for 21 days, 4.5 months. Because you'd be amazed at how much we actually criticize and complain. It's so much part of our nature, we don't hardly think about it. You know, it's just what you do. But there's a way to see things in a positive way, a constructive way. And everything changes around. And so one little tip he gave, if people have a tendency to complain, you just say, instead of, I had to go today, you say, what went well for you today? Of course, the person could say, nothing. We're in West Texas. This is when I had my big bus, early 90s. We were in the middle of nowhere in West Texas, hardly any gas stations on these big routes. And we pulled up to one, it was real hot. And really uncomfortable type day. We pulled in, some guy came out, just a horrible look on his face. It's like if you can imagine someone looking like Ajamil looks when the kirtan's not going so well. You know? So he had that type of look on his face. And I said to him, I said, hey, nice day, isn't it? He said, I ain't had a nice day in 40 years. So we can get like that. We can get like that. And you meet another person, exact same situation. Nice day. Yeah, fantastic. You think about all the good things, all the mercy that Krishna's given, because he's, like Prabhupada is saying here, Krishna really wants to help his devotees. Sometimes he helps us by teaching us. He has to teach us how to become transcendentally situated in this world of duality. How to become so focused on spiritual life, on service and glorifying Krishna and loving each other that all these other things don't matter. And so this is an impetus for us to practice that. When we get sick, when so many things happen throughout one's life at different times. And at those times, we prepare ourselves for renunciation. And the ultimate renunciation is to be able to renounce this body and be in clear Krishna consciousness. And we see so many devotees throughout the years who have had to leave their bodies. They leave their bodies in really good consciousness, getting so much realization. So this is a way of us practicing that. And all the time, remembering that Krishna loves us. Krishna says in the Gita, for one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So Krishna puts his heart into the lives of the devotees. He's always meditating on his devotees. And Prabhupada is saying that here. From his own realization. He said Krishna came and massaged his heart, personally came and massaged his heart when he had one of his heart attacks on the Jaladuta. So Prabhupada has his own realizations. And it's so nice to hear Prabhupada describing the heart of Krishna, or Krishna describing his own heart, just like that verse. Now we just quoted from the Gita. It's nice to know Krishna's heart, isn't it? Because we won't surrender to God just because he's God. You might, just because you have to. But we'll surrender to full surrender to God because we have attraction for God, or love for God. That's why. That's how we'll. That's why we'll want to reciprocate, because we have some feeling for Krishna, not just because he has that position, but because he is who he is. So who is he? And that we're finding out here. In the Bible, it says, "What I am an angry God." There's some quote like that. I am an angry God.
I'm a jealous God,
an angry God. In one sense, that makes sense. In the sense that he doesn't want any other gods before him, right? But not for his pride. It's because he knows if we do that, then we're lost. So I don't know where that verse came from, or who actually wrote that verse. I don't know what they say it means, but we know Krishna's not like that. Everything he does is out of love. Even when he slices the heads off of demons, he does it out of his love. Of course, not everybody understands that. That's why it's so important to have Srila Prabhupada to explain. Why is Krishna gallivanting around with all these women in the middle of the night? Right? And why is Krishna want, you know, all these people killed on the battlefield? Why is he so intent on Arjuna killing? These are questions that people need to have answered, intelligent people need to have answered. They're trying to understand, perhaps, if they're not challenging, who Krishna is, who God is, and why do we worship him? And if they just read the verses, and some people do that, sometimes they say, well, I like the Bhagavad Gita. And I read your Bhagavad Gita, but I'd rather just read the verses. Why? Because that way they can speculate any way they want about it. They don't have to follow. And Prabhupada really doesn't give us much room to breathe, speculate on the Bhagavad Gita. If you read the Bhagavad Gita and the purports, you really have to understand it. Well, yeah, I guess I really should surrender to Krishna. And I'm not God. So we're understanding, by Srila Prabhupada's help, who is Krishna? Who is Balaram? Who are the gopis? I told this story once. It's an interesting story. Maybe a couple of you have heard it. In regard to the need to understand Krishna as he actually is. We used to have in San Diego a dinner program. We'd go out on book distribution, Harinam, during the day, and we'd invite people to our dinner every night. And it got to be really big, like between 40 and 60 people would come every night. We set up the whole temple room with all the little tables that you sit on. You sit on cushions, and we had some tables for people who couldn't sit down. And we had like a whole show in the temple room. We showed a movie after half the dinner. We started showing a movie, and that went into the Artik. And we started the Artik out, everybody was sitting down. And then gradually the devotees stood up, and by the end of the Artik, everyone's dancing and chanting. And then after the Artik was a class. So every night, it was like a whole, it was practically like a Sunday feast. So we used to have a master of ceremonies greeting everybody and explaining what we're going to do now, and then after that we'll have this. And then, so as one program, part of the program is winding down, we have the person introducing the next part. So I would always train up the masters of ceremonies. So we had a new one, Shivananda Sena. He was the new master of ceremonies. So I gave him a little briefing, and so I was at the back of the temple room by the entrance, and he was at the front, and everyone was facing him. And he got up there and said, "Welcome everybody, we're so glad that you're here. Today's a very exciting and auspicious day. It's Radharani's birthday." And who is Radharani? Krishna's girlfriend. And I was going, oh. he said, that's right. Krishna's got girlfriends. He's got boyfriends. Got his mom and dad. And he goes out with his girlfriends. He's got 16,108 wives. And I'm going, oh no, she's not. So I started going like this. He said, yeah. And he kills demons. He cuts off their heads. So after that, I just turned around and walked out. So it's really important for people to understand properly who Krishna is. And how did I get on this? Let's see. What were we talking about? We're talking about preaching. It came to my mind when I was mentioning something. How people have to understand properly. Spiritually, fortunately, we have Srila Prabhupada too. Can anyone bring me back? Sometimes I do this. I take too many turns and I get a little bit lost.
Preaching with love.
How Krishna loves us in Krishna's heart. Who Krishna really is. Yeah. Thank you. And he's not somebody who likes to kill millions of people on the battlefield, make people kill needlessly. And he's not all those things that people think he is if they understand him externally like that. So we're understanding Krishna's heart. And if people actually understand Krishna's loving pastimes with his devotees, that's one important reason. Well, it's the entire reason why Prabhupada gave us the Krishna book to distribute, so we could develop love for Krishna. Because he's irresistible, really. And you can really see Krishna's heart in his relationships with his devotees, right? And you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you see Lord Chaitanya's heart and the hearts of all the devotees. It's so beautiful. And it gives us a lot of enthusiasm to want to be part of that and give up whatever we need to give up to enter into that. So we're so fortunate to have Srila Prabhupada in these wonderful explanations that he gives in his purports. Questions about anything? Comments?
Nobody said nothing.
Oh, Ajamil says, he always tells me, no questions, no comments, no prasadam. He's like, always reminds me to tell everybody. What's for dinner? What was that? That's a good question. What were you going to say?
I can say something.
Yes, please.
I said that in another sense, like as you say, that if you don't understand Krishna, you have to understand Krishna, who is he? Then you love him. If you don't understand, yes. How can you love him?
Yes.
Well, similarly, people may get confused. Like, you know, without understanding, maybe someone, very rich guy, but he's eating dry chapati. For example, in my village, there was one very rich man, but he used very huge body, you know, but he used to go on the land, take, you know, this kudal means, you know, the
plow.
Axe, you know, yeah. And used to dig the axe all day on the field. Why? People may think, is that a stupid idiot? He's a rich man working. Even sutra don't work like that, you know. Instead of bull supposed to plow the land, but he was doing bull work. Why? So people can say he's a stupid man, but actually he had a problem. Doctor said he has a high blood pressure or something. He has to work like that, something. Yeah. Okay. So similarly, you know, Krishna may have 16,000 wife or, you know, girlfriend or whatever, but if you say the new guy, he have no clue, he say, man, this kind of God, these people worship.
Or else he can say, well, can you explain this a little further?
But people generally would be shocked, you know.
Or else people could say, He must be God if he has that many wives. Right? And that's what Prabhupada says. Prabhupada says, "Who can you have 16,000 wives and 16,108 wives and satisfy all of them? People can't even have one wife and satisfy them." Prabhupada says that.
Yeah.
So that is God.
Excuse me. So that thing happened in Grand on one of my motel. One of the priest from Sri Lanka, he was an Indian body. And he came to preach over there in the church, the people, they invited him. So I thought he's kind of Indian body. So I will discuss with him a little bit, and I was feeling that I will go very close to him. So when he came early in the morning, in the morning, then I talked with him, "Hi, hello, how are you?" Then immediately he started to criticize about Krishna right away. Then I said, "What is wrong? Oh, your Krishna God is keeping 16,000 girls. And is this a kind of the God?" Yeah. Then I thought it is better now just leave him alone.
Yeah, people have a...
I wanted to argue with him, but then I thought when he came for the preaching over here in the church, so I do not want to disturb him. So then his time was getting over.
Yeah.
So I thought let him go about that.
Yeah.
But he told me the same thing, whatever you are talking.
Yeah, because people
how come
don't
your God is keeping 16,000 girls as a wife? So he's dancing and doing this and this. That can be the God? He cannot be the God.
So people have very long, even in our Hindu community in India, they think that Krishna is like this. So if God can do like this, you know, have a girl like this, I should have. There's so many people, they, you know, discuss totally certain people. But they don't have understanding who is Krishna. No?
Yes.
Tell to the people Krishna is dancing on the head of the cobra serpent. So they can dance
now,
on
we
the
know the story, but in general public.
In public, that they, I'm talking to.
Yeah,
public,
until
yeah,
you contact
yeah.
them and wrote
yeah.
or read Prabhupada books,
yeah.
then they come and understand. But generally,
when they have. This is the plan of Krishna. Not everybody will be Krishna devotee.
I think that's why Prabhupada also stresses so much that we have to chant, we have to chant, we have to chant, because unless your mind is purified and we understand it from the spiritual platform in the first place, then, you know, and try to understand it with our mundane, our imperfect mundane senses, and of course we're going to come to that same conclusion. Because we don't
well, not necessarily, because if one is a little bit humble, a little bit endowed with the mode of goodness, one can begin understanding and say, well, yeah, that makes sense, right? It's not that one has to necessarily chant or do this or that.
Yeah.
Prabhupada is so potent with his books, and he's such a great communicator, that anyone who's just a little bit open or submissive will hear Prabhupada's explanations. And then, as they take up chanting, then they'll understand more and more deeply, like we're understanding more and more deeply ourselves. So like certain pastimes, we can read and understand. Other pastimes we shouldn't even go near. Like when just let me finish. When Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted to publish, I think it was the Govinda Lilamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj, his spiritual master said, or was it Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur said, "Yes, you can publish one copy for yourself." Because it's so rasika that ordinary people shouldn't read a lot of that book. And when I was in Washington, D.C., I went into their little bookstore in the temple, and there it was, right on the bookshelf, Govinda Lilamrita. And now it's being sold everywhere because they sell it in Vrindavan and devotees buy it. But that's because most of them don't know. So even ourselves, we accept philosophy, we're becoming purified. There's certain intimate pastimes of Krishna that are beyond our ability to understand, and they actually create lust rather than diminish it. So one has to be very careful, and Sriram Swami in his books, even the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's certain portions in there that we shouldn't dwell on. Ramananda Roy, and his, the way he deals with the some young girls. So we have to be very, very careful, because Krishna's loving exchanges with his intimate devotees, they're not so easy to understand because it's such a high spiritual platform. And if we're not on that platform, then if there's too much lust there, then we won't be able to take properly what's being described. Yeah. Although Prabhupada presented the Krishna book in such a beautiful way that anybody can read the Krishna book. And if they have an open heart, they can understand. Mm. Yes, Prabhupada.
Another thing that to become a Krishna devotee, there is two things. Either person like Srila Prabhupada can transfer, or you must have some Sukriti. Otherwise, impossible to come Krishna, guarantee. Is that guarantee?
What is the first thing you say? You got to have?
Just like a Vaishnava, like Srila Prabhupada, you can transfer anybody. Or you have to have such a Sukriti. And Krishna explained in Bhagavad Gita, Boho Janu, Ganoman, Ma Pramuddhati, Vasudeva Sarvati, Swamatma, Sudur Lava. So, you have to have some Sukriti to come. Not everybody will come to Krishna. Even you may be such a pious man, still, if you don't have proper Sukriti, impossible. It's a fact. I realize, maybe I'm wrong, Swami can clarify.
Well, when you say Sukriti, what do you mean?
Karma.
Such as...
From your past life, you're already a devotee.
Yes.
But still you need to... The pure devotee in this life has to ignite that spark.
Yeah, so association of the devotee or someone have no Sukriti, like Prabhupada can transfer many people. But if you have a previous, you already did such a piety, and as soon as you come in contact with that Vaishnavas, you got it.
Yes.
But if you don't have any piety from previous life, even though you come in contact with the devotees, still you don't get it.
Still you what?
You don't get it.
By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, a dumb
that
man
is a different.
Well, it's not different because that's why people are becoming devotees. Even they have practically no qualification at all.
No, but that I see the association of Prabhupada by his potency. I already made mention that. But it's just like you go many places. You can see that even your own family member, their children become pure, but still the children, family member don't become a Krishna devotee. Why is that? They must have done such a piety that even their own family person is pure Vaishnava and he cannot get it. Why is that?
So he's basically...
But it's not that it's automatic that he doesn't take it. In other words, that person still has free will. He still has a choice. It's not that automatically, because of his past life, he can't take the Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, that's an excuse. You say, well, I'm sorry.
I did not do something good. Yeah. This time, I'm not going to be there.
Free will is there, but ultimately, actually, you know, this the free will that we talk about, I see different perspective ways, because even though you have a free will, or sometimes even though you want, sometimes don't happen, because it's always controlling by somebody, you know. Even your free will, actually, we say, I have a free will, I consider there is no free will. Everything directed, everything handled by Krishna or his material nature. So we don't have any will. I consider that way. Because
well,
many times...
Yeah, I think you should write a book. The Bhagavad Gita as Dr. Mail thinks it is.
And that is where the Big Bang Theory, which they have after 19 years, they proved that there is some supreme personality.
You know?
Yes.
The Bosch Theory after 19 years.
Yeah, because of free will, I don't consider. We have no any free will.
No,
everything directed.
Does have free will.
It's directed.
Anyway, I think this is a topic for another hour.
A very sensitive topic.
You can give a seminar on how there is no free will, okay. But I'll give another ceremony, seminar on how there is free will. Thank you very much. This is being recorded, Arjuna.
Yes.
Okay.
I've been recording all the time.
Shri Prabhupada ki jai.